you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Rob Artigo here once again, your guest host for another edition of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm a writer and a researcher and investigator in California. Being invited back, always a pleasure. Ray, how you doing?
Good, Rob. It's always good to have you on. You've got a good way of leading these podcasts, and so you know you've got a real talent for it. So appreciate having you back on the program again.
Thanks a lot, Ray. And obviously, it's great to be able to pick your brain on a lot of these matters. I find it fascinating. And when I listen to the other podcasts that are done by the guest hosts, I always learn something. So I appreciate it. Ray, you're not only known as a well-respected, very successful entrepreneur, but you're also an inventor and innovator. You came up with the wafer stepper, which changed silicon chip manufacturing. So let's talk about those kinds of advances in the context of businesses choosing new automation platforms and maybe doing away with older methods. And I hate to say, you know, going from a buggy whip to, automobile or something like that. But every new year, and it's about that time to start thinking about it, every new year seems to bring advances in automation technology. So what does it mean for businesses to consider automation when you have a lot of options, but it can be costly?
Well, you know, automation does two things. Number one, it increases product quality, or should increase product quality and consistency. And it also, of course, allows us to go beyond where we were before. I know that when I invented the wafer stepper, it allowed us to go to really deep geometries, very, very small chip sizes as well as features. So it really improved the performance dramatically and continues to do so. So sometimes automation is done just to reduce cost. Now, that's the more difficult one because people's jobs and lives are impacted when we have automation to reduce costs. Now, sometimes we reduce costs, and at the expense of quality. Sometimes what we try to do is get more output, and automation increases the output, but also reduces the quality. So there's all kinds of automation. There's what they call AI automation, which is artificial intelligence, which allows cars to be self-driven without having a passenger or a person behind the wheel manipulating the controls. And so, you know, there's the issue about, well, what's that going to do to safety? You know, maybe, you know, a person is more alert and can see things that that maybe not all the little sensors in the car will know. And in fact, we've known there's some people who have been killed when they went to these self-driving cars. There's that aspect of it. And so the better the automation is in the way of not only improving safety, but improving quality and reliability is good. But if it's just there to cut costs, that's not always a good thing.
And the cutting the costs is one of the reasons why some businesses have chosen to go with almost a automated customer service. And you mentioned artificial intelligence, and one of the aspects of artificial intelligence or the early stages of it is you have a video screen or something with an automated person on there, automated image of a person on there, and then you're interacting or talking to that and then punching in numbers, and you're not really interacting, engaging with a real person. I suppose that when you deal with the type of business that has always been traditionally a human interaction between your business and the customer, that an overstep in automation could push you into a zone where you really end up losing that relationship that you've always wanted to have with your customers.
I'm like you. I've probably been bombarded with probably 50 or 60% of my phone calls are all automated, meaning they're just dialing my number, and then there's a pause while they then connect me with a person, or it's just a recording. So those are very irritating. And so it, to me, I won't deal with companies that use that sort of contact where it's fully automated. And you know how irritating it is, by the way, when you call for service and you got to punch 5 different numbers in before you get a real person to talk to you. You know, if it's regarding, you know, a delivery, press 1. If it's regarding this another, press 2. If it's another, press 3. You know, I hate that. And so, you know, some forms of automation to me are actually have reduced my belief that company has a quality operation.
I had a recent experience that you were just saying there. I have a couple of power poles on my property, and I had to call the local municipal utility to tell them that a guy wire that was holding one of the poles up had snapped off out of the ground. And I don't think there was any immediate danger. There were other guy wires holding the pole, but obviously they want to know structurally if the system is sound and everything is working okay. And I had to call and tell them that there was a broken guy wire, and navigating the voice system to get to the right person ultimately was, I said, problem with a power pole. And they sent me to the emergency line because it was like a downed wire thing. And I'd say, well, no, it's not. If they had listened to my suggestion, it would have been take me to somebody who can schedule a person to come out here and look at this in their appropriate time. But it wasn't an emergency. Ultimately, my relationship with that municipal utility is unaffected because I need them. They're going to be here no matter what. I don't have a choice with the utility. But I also have sort of a negative opinion now of having to deal with them because it was so impossible to deal with the navigating their phone, their voice phone interactions. And that's one of the examples that when you have a business that deals with the public and you force them to go through all the automation, you stand the risk of really losing your reputation as being a customer service oriented organization. It must be a tough decision for a business operator to decide when to make that move.
Yes. And you know, they primarily do it because of cost. In other words, they're just trying to reduce headcount. And so they'll use them as much automation as you can, to cut the cost. I remember recently with an internet problem, you know, it took me forever and I was on hold forever before I could talk to a person. And I said, what's the problem here with your service? And they said, well, I'm one person and I have now to, I'm the only human interface for the entire company. And this is a company that has tens of thousands of customers. So, you know, their quality of service dropped, but they're trying to cut costs. So it depends again, you know, what the automation does. In the case of the wafer stepper that I invented many years ago that's helped the industry, it's been a positive. And so but if automation is a positive, then I think it's a good thing. If automation is a negative, then I think it's obviously a bad thing. And, you know, we've been talking mostly about automation that's negative as opposed to automation that's positive. So, you know, most of the car manufacturers now, whole automobile is done automatically. There's not a person that interfaces with that car, except maybe in the final inspection. Maybe even then it's done by automation. So, you know, there are areas where automation has basically taken over the entire manufacturing of a product. But there's that, it's an automation where it's an interface with customer service is where I think we have the most difficulty. Because we know the company is just trying to cut costs and they're really not here to help service their customers.
Well, thank you again, Ray. Appreciate it.
No, appreciate being with you, Rob.
You can join the conversation at toughthingsfirst.com. You can ask your questions. You can put your comments in there. They're always welcome. Ray loves to hear from you. You can follow Ray Zinn on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And, of course, get the text of Ray's books. He has 2, Tough Things First and, of course, The Zen of Zinn. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.